Turn, if you will, of your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24. The Word of God says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Let us pray. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your presence. All the glory belongs to you, like the song said. Lord, if there's anything good that comes out of us as in the flesh, Lord, I just pray that you'll receive honor out of these old bodies. Lord, I thank you and I praise you as we look at this passage of Scripture, that we may all run according to your will. And we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I don't know, but I feel like sometimes that I'm in a rat race. I mean, just going. We get up in the morning and we run. We run here and we run there. We go to work. We go eat. We go see people. We do this, and we're all gathering all the time. And so many times we're gathering the riches of the world. Amen. We're gathering the riches of the world. We're running ourselves literally to death to gain more so we can spend more and be broke again. Get up, start the same old thing the next day. And man, I feel like sometimes we're just running. What motivates us today in such a way the world goes? A lot are running for wealth. A lot are running for power. They like that power that wealth brings. Many running to obtain material things in life. But if those are only things you're running for, those things will fade away. Those things will rust out. I was just seeing the other day, thinking about someone that I know personally that has gained a lot of things materially, but spiritually they've let their lives slide, you see. Things that used to be important to them, like church and the Word of God and things like that, have slid away. They've got so involved in the material things and gain in life. You know, they kept thinking, well, if I can just gain this, I'll be happy. But worldly possessions never make you happy. Some want that beauty. Oh, if I can just make myself look better. Well, I got news for you. It's not going to happen. You see, we get older, don't we? And the older we get, the more wrinkles we get, and all of this age stuff that they're putting on their faces nowadays, you know, you can only put so much. Man, we don't need a little, we need a lot. And what does that do? We talked about it this morning. We try to satisfy our own pride, don't we? Why do we do all of that? So many times it's to be loved, isn't it? But you know what? All of these things, it doesn't matter how you look, God loves you just like you are. You see, believe it or not, He loves me just like I am. I can do all of these things and try to improve my life while I'm here, but you know, one day I'm going to get old. and I'm going to die. And you know, the only thing that's going to matter is what I've done for Christ with him in my life. And that's what he says here. Don't you know that there's those who run in a race? We all run. But only one receives the prize. Riches are temporal. They'll pass away. Power will be gone one day. Beauty, it fades away. And fame. Public forgets, don't they? They forget. And I was watching a Heisman Trophy winner the other night on television or one of the ball games. I can't even think of his name now, but you know what? We don't even remember him. That's the way things are. You live your life, and the only things that matter is for Christ. So ask yourself this morning, what am I running for? Will it give me eternal happiness? That's what you want, isn't it? You want to be happy now and in eternity. And we can be happy now if we live for Jesus Christ. The only one that gives you complete peace and happiness is Jesus Christ. He can forgive you of your sins. And it will lead to an incorruptible crown one day when we die and we go to heaven. Man, I think about heaven more and more each day because, you know, down here our friends have died and going on. I got to go home, be with Mother again the other day, and I just spent the whole evening with her. And when she can't talk, I said, Mom, you don't have to talk. You know, we just sit there and look at each other. And see, she said she was the only one left, only living one left in her age. And she said, I'm ready to go be with Daddy and all the rest of them. And I said, you know, you're not the only one. I'm the only one of our age. All of them have died. And I said, you know, I'm ready too. But God's got a purpose and a plan for us. And we're running a race. And no matter, you know, how long we live or what we live for, if we just live for Jesus, see? Live for Jesus. And one day we'll meet him face to face. And like Paul, I'm looking forward to that day when I can hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So what are you running for? I don't know what you're running for, but let me tell you something. If you're going to run for God, you've got to get on the right track. You see, you got to get on the right track. You know, I was thinking about this morning. Somebody said, when athletes run a race, they usually go and run that track first. I know when golfers, they go to play in a tournament, usually they go a couple days early and play the course. Why? They're learning how that course fits their eye and where to, you know, the rough spots are and where to. Well, athletes, when we're running a race, we've got to go and get on the right track. And the right track starts with Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, this morning you need to trust him as your Lord and Savior. You won't find happiness in wealth. You won't find happiness in the world. You won't find happiness in fame or power if you don't know Jesus Christ. So get on the right track with Jesus Christ first. And he will help you stay on the right track. In 1 Samuel 17, we find the story of David. He's just a shepherd boy. You know, David is just a young man at that time, a boy, and we know about the giant that he's facing, Goliath. Now, David was the youngest of the sons, and there were the oldest sons. They were following King Saul all around. But David was out tending to the sheep, as a shepherd would. He was watching over his father's flock. And David went there and he returned with the flock every day. Well, Goliath is taunting the soldiers of the Israelites, Saul and his brothers. And he says, why don't I challenge one of you? Come out. If you've got the nerve, come out and fight me. they were all scared to death of this giant. I believe he's about 9 foot tall. Oh, he is a big fella. Well, they looked at their own lives and they were defeated. Why? They weren't trusting in God. David comes along and he says, "What are y'all doing?" "Well, there's this big giant of a man. He stands out there and he's going to kill us. That's what we're doing. We're not going out there to meet him." And David says, "Why? Why are you not trusting God? Listen." And he challenges old Goliath. Man, this little boy. But his faith was in God. Why? Because God had protected him as a shepherd boy. He had spent time out there with God in the field. And he had learned that when there's a trouble spot, he said, "You know, God has protected me from the lion and the bear. I've killed them both. And I know God can take care of this giant. And in the name of Jesus, I'll fight him." Why do you let someone curse our God and not stand up? You see, David was on the right track. And that's the way our lives need to be, folks. There's a time to learn God's word and get into God's word and feed upon God's word. Let me tell you something. These that have just been baptized, really, you get into the word of God. You start reading the word of God. You have a prayer time together as a family. You claim God's promises for your life. You learn to put your faith in God. You see, David had a knowledge of God that the other didn't have. He had been walking in the light of the Lord out there in the field, and God had protected him, and he was on the right track in life. And when old Goliath challenged the armies of Israel and said, "No man's willing to take me on," little old David said, "Yes, I'll take you on." And don't you know that giant of a man sat there and laughed at him? So many times the world will laugh at you. But don't let that get you down. They don't understand because they're still walking in the darkness. You be the light of the world in their lives. You show them that God is real. All the Israelites were afraid of this giant, but not David. You'll find that in 1 Samuel 17. When Goliath challenged Israel, when he cursed God, and the men of Israel fled from him, they had not trusted God. They had not got on the right track and on the way of the path of righteousness. They were seeking fame, but you know, they wasn't going to fight that giant. Old Saul says, "Whoever goes out and challenges him, I'll let him marry my daughter. You can be part of the royal family." The king said, "I'll enrich your life. You'll have power." And they said, "No, we don't want to marry your daughter for fighting that giant. We don't want your power if we have to fight that giant." You see, the problem is they saw Goliath bigger than God. And let me tell you something, folks. When we see our circumstances, when we see our problems bigger than God, we've got a problem. Because the Bible says nothing is too big for God. Our God is we sing a song about it, an awesome God. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is the ruler of this universe. Man, there's nothing stronger, nothing more mightier than our God. Now, David was concerned with only the things of God. And he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that we should fear him and he should defy the army of the living God?" Who is this man? David trusted God and God alone. He's on the right track. Have you trusted God and God alone in your life this week or this year or for your life? What are you trusting this morning? What are you putting your faith in this morning? If you're counting on your own power today to live your life, guess what? You're not on the right track. When trials come in your life, you're going to be helpless. I guarantee you. If you're like David and you rely on Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will find power. You will find strength. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Old Saul said, well, David, it's awful good of you to go out there and fight Goliath, but man, I don't think my armor's going to fit you. And he puts all that old heavy armor on David. David said, wait a minute, I can't fight like this. Get rid of this stuff. All I want is my slingshot. Now, I bet you that army and the men were saying, David, have you gone crazy? But David was trusting God. So he picked up his slingshot and he got some smooth stones and he went out to face Goliath. David refused the things of the world for the things of God. David believed God. David trusted God. And David relied on God. And let me tell you something. When that old giant came out there, he laughed at David. And when he was doing that, he was laughing at God. David's God. Let me tell you, David slung it. Slingshot around, and he hit him right between the eyes with it. Was he a good shot? God's always the best shot. Let me tell you something. He couldn't have missed Goliath because I believe David was powered by God. And he killed him, and he cut his head off. You know the story. Boy, I tell you, Saul made David part of the kingdom, and God, you see, God did it. God always honors his word. God always honors. If you will honor him, he will honor you. All the glory belongs to God. What track are you on this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You see, you've got to trust him. He's the only way. David knew who he believed in, and he trusted God. Do you know God? Ask yourself that. You can fool the church. You can fool the members. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. If, you know, some of us think ourselves a gift to God. But I got news for you. You're not. You know, I thought a long time when I was a young man that, you know, God needs me. And he wants me to be used. But you know, if I died today, he would have another person right here tomorrow. You see, that's the way God is. God wants you to be used. But don't think too highly of yourself. David was humble before God. He gave all the credit to God. So fight. Not as one that beateth the air. You know, you got to have a program. You got to have a management. If you're going to be the right fighter, he uses fighting a prize fighter here. To describe the right relationship with God. A prize fight is only as good as his trainer. Did you know that? Now the prize fighter trains over and over and over. If we're going to fight for God, we must train our minds. We must train our bodies. We must train our eyes. You know, you've got to be in the Word. You've got to study. We had 194 for Bible study, folks, we all should be there. I'm not here for numbers. I just don't worry about the numbers too much, but numbers represent people. And it's so good when we have people studying the Word of God together. You learn like that. You find you a class that you like and want to be in. Now, if you're an adult, don't go to children's classes. Some of you might need to, but, you know. Somebody said the other day, boy, what we need is character in our lives. And I said, you know, we got a lot of characters, but the world is missing someone with character. In our world today, we have all kinds of foolish religions out there. I was thinking about years ago. Man, I don't know how many years ago it's been. You know, I feel like sometimes I'm in one of them light years, and I'm just passing. You remember on Star Trek when they put that thing in high gear and go, little stream of light. Well, how many of you remember that? Is it Hale-Bopp Comet? Am I the only oldest one here? I don't even know what year, but it came right across there. I was up here. I'd come up here in the church parking lot because it was a light. We didn't have all them lights in. It was kind of dark, and I could watch it. And some guy, I don't know where he's from, but convinced a bunch of people if they would just kill themselves, they would go and get on that thing. Now, friends, there's all kinds of weird people out there telling you all kinds of things to get you off the right track. If it's not in God's Word, it's not true, okay? You read His Word, you find out what His Word says, and then you won't be fooled by all of this foolishness that's out there. You stay with the Bible. You stay with the Word of God. You know, I wouldn't give you 10 cents for some of those churches out there that all want to make you feel good. But, you know, you don't feel good all the time. It doesn't say in the Bible you got to feel good all the time. I don't go about my feelings. I go with the fact that I know what God's Word says. I trusted it. I can't lose my salvation, but I can lose the joy of it if I sin. Stay away from sin. You know, confess it when you sin and get right with God. David was on the right track with God. Now, let me look something else. 1 Kings 18, we find a whole different thing. 1 Kings 18, 22, 25, I just so happen to have it right here. Let me read it to you. This is just as funny. It is good. If you hadn't read your Bible, you ought to read it. I tell you what, the Lord just blesses in mighty, mighty way. I fooled myself. I had two markers. This is my son and wife. I just love to see them on there. He called me the other night. I missed his telephone call. But he called me at midnight, I think. 18, 1 Kings 18, listen to what it says. 22. Then Elijah said to the people, I got to have these. Man, I got three different pairs, none of them work. Listen. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? People are back and forth. If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, he challenges them. Let them give us two bulls, and let us choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood. But put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it. Then he says, you call on the name of your God, gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. All right, here's the story. Elijah is challenging the prophets of Baal and the people about who is God. He says, let's build two altars. You put a bull on that, no fire under it. I'll fix a bull and put it on that, and whoever God burns it up, he is God. Well, you know what happened? The people did exactly what he said, and they call on their gods of Baal all day long. And Elijah just said, he must be asleep. Maybe he's taking a journey. They couldn't get fire. They cut themselves. They screamed. They did all kinds of things to wake their God up. He never answered by fire. Then Elijah says, hey, now get some barrels of water and pour over my fire, my wood. And he soaked that wood with water. And it says he dug trenches. And the trenches were full of water. And he didn't act crazy. He just says this words. Elijah said, Lord, let's see, let me find it. Oh, Lord, send fire. That's not exactly what he said, but it did. He called upon the name of God to send fire. And he called down the fire, and it just consumed the water, the wood, it consumed it all. And he proved that there's only one true and living God. And the Bible says the people cried out that Elijah's God is the true and living God. Folks, what will it take for you to believe in God? What does it take? I just saw five miracles. Five people come to know Jesus Christ. I've been here for 33 years, and I have watched miracle after miracle, people being saved and turning to God. And yet, I know people that every week they go in and out of this church, and they're just as lost as can be. Who do you believe? Where have you put your trust today? In the world? In the power of your own life? Let me tell you something. Your life is just hanging by a thread. That's all it is. One little heartbeat away from eternity. And you know, every week I say, I'll see you next week, but somebody dies, I don't see them again. What are you putting your trust in? Technology? Science? Fame? Well, if you've never trusted in God as Lord and Savior, you've missed it altogether. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Years ago, I don't know what it was, on an anniversary or something, our church had the people that came for salvation stand around this building, and they reached all the way around it. People, hundreds of people have been saved. In missions, hundreds, thousands of people that we invest our money in and our time and go to Africa and Haiti and different places like that have come to know Jesus Christ. And yet, week after week, right here in our town, we meet people that are lost and dying and going to hell, and we don't say a word to them. Why not? Why not? If our God be the true and living God, Let him be in your heart, the true and living God. You see, if you don't know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you can begin a new life. Now, I'm not saying, well, some of you will tell me, well, preacher, I was baptized as a little kid. Well, you know, baptism doesn't save you. That's not how they got saved. They followed through with a commitment to show you that they were coming to walk in newness of life. Now, that's what baptism is, identification with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, that doesn't save you. It's a relationship that you have with Christ, willing to say, listen, I know I'm a sinner. I want to come to Christ as my Lord and Savior. And this morning, I'm going to give my life to him. That's salvation, a relationship with Christ. You're willing to say, I know I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm just a sinner. Folks, that's what we have to do to realize we're just sinners. And we can't receive heaven unless you go through Christ. It's not how many times you go to church. It's not how many songs you sing. It's not how many times you've been in Sunday school. It's not even what you know. It's that relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had a friend that knew the Bible. He said, man, I can almost tell you everything in the Bible. But you know what? Sad part about it, he didn't believe it. And you know what he did? Instead of finding peace and power in Christ, he went home one day and shot himself because he's unhappy. Never knew Christ. That's sad, isn't it? I worked with this guy for years and told him about Jesus Christ. And he says, no, I just don't believe that. And he died without Christ, unhappy. Had all the things in the world to live for. He had a nice wife, beautiful home, but he was unhappy. He didn't know Jesus. Folks, people without Christ, they're not happy. Wealth does not do it. Fame does not do it. It's Christ that does it. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, reach out to him. He's reaching out to you. Reach out for the prize. I believe the prize is him. You see? He's the gift of God to all who believe. You come this morning, we're going to have a verse or two invitation. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's been touching your heart, and you're not happy, and you want forgiveness, come to Christ. You're not coming to me, you're coming to Christ. And you're just telling me that I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't care if you've already come down, you've already been baptized. If you didn't do it for the right cause, you're still not saved, see? You got to do it for Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people do it for mama. A lot of people do it for father. Oh, they wanted me to be saved, so I walked down to the front and got saved. No, you didn't. You want to do it because Christ asked you to, not mama or daddy. Makes all the difference in the world. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, we just take your word and trust it. For all those who need to be saved, Lord, I pray right now that they'll step out and come, that we might have revival in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.